Let's turn to the New Testament, please, to the little book of James. The book of James and chapter 4, please. The book of James, chapter 4. And we're going to commence reading at the verse number 7. James chapter 4, the verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This Sabbath day marks the final one in the calendar year for 2018. The days, the weeks, the months have flown past. Each and every one of us here gathered has celebrated yet another birthday. Some of us maybe have stopped counting those birthdays and have decided it's just another date in the calendar and we're not going to count how many moons has passed and all the rest of it. But as we look back in 2018, there will be many different thoughts and many different memories for each individual. There will be happy memories, humorous memories, times throughout the year whenever things have happened, whether it be individually or within the family setting, that bring a smile to our faces. There will also be hard memories and sad memories. Occasions within our family circles or within our lives, maybe that our lives have changed course. News has come which has greatly affected us. Some memories within family circles and friend circles may have been additions to the group. Whether it be through the birth of a little child or through marriage, there may have been depletions to families through death. But one thing that every one of us has in common, that as we look back in 2018, is the fact that it is gone. And it's gone very quickly. James chapter 4 brings us to consider our lives in this earth. That verse 14, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The book of James as a whole, the key theme of it is spiritual maturity. And James, as he is writing this apostle or this epistle, he is writing it to the Christians that are scattered throughout the world at that time. It is an epistle in which the Holy Spirit is instructing Christians how to live, how to conduct themselves both privately and publicly. If you want to break up chapter 1, it's teaching Christians how to endure testing. Chapter 2, it's teaching the benefit and the necessity for love and works to proceed out of our faith. Chapter 3, it is the guarding of your tongue. Chapter 4, it is the necessity to be a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker, both within the church and within our own homes. In chapter 5, it brings us to the necessity for prayer within the Christian life. But right there at the end of chapter 4, we have that little question asked in the verse 14. What is your life? And the Holy Spirit asks it to each and every one of us. What's the importance of this question? Three answers I want to give you this morning. Notice with me, firstly, it gives opportunity to examine the spirituality of one's life. This question gives the opportunity for each and every one to examine the spirituality of their life. See, the wording of this question is very important. The question does not say, what is life? Because that then would open up the door and a discussion of philosophy. Men and women throughout the ages have tried to understand and tried to bring it down, as it were, to a nutshell, as to discuss and to rhyme out what is actually life. And the question is not, what is our lives? For then that removes the responsibility as individuals. The question is very much pointed. The question is very much brought in by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle James. It focuses, it shines that spotlight on each and every person individually. What is your life? We must examine ourselves in order to give that answer. Each and every one of us must examine our thoughts. We must examine our words. We must examine our actions or our deeds. And even as we look back over 2018 and as we think upon those things that we have said or thought or done, we examine what is our lives before God. No man and woman will measure themselves using different scales, many different ways. Some people in society measure their lives in terms of their success. They will look back on 2018 and they will measure it in how far their career has enhanced. There will be men and women who will look back and say, in 2018, I received a promotion and I got this pay rise and I am now this within a company. Therefore, my year's been good. Others will measured by their intelligence. Young people, maybe at school or university, will look back on the year and they will measure how far they have come on in their education. They will think about 2018 as it started in January, and they will think, right, well, at that point I didn't know this, but right now in December I have grown in mental stature to this point. I have done my year of schooling or my year of university and I have increased so much and I am now at this level of education. The child of God, let me encourage you this morning to take time to measure your spiritual standing. You think back to the last day of December 2017, ask yourself the question, how far have you come? What has been the increase in your spiritual life throughout 2018? As you think about the start of the year, right to this very point, how far have you grown? How far have you increased as a Christian? Child of God, what is your life? Are we spiritually stronger than we were at the start of the year? What has changed? I ask myself these questions as I ask you them. What has changed over this year in your life? Have we grown in knowledge and in grace? Do we know more of God's word than we did in January? Do we know more of who God is? Do we understand more of his attributes, of his characteristics? Has our prayer lives increased? Has the depth of our prayers increased? As we have grown in knowledge, and I trust we have, then have our prayers increased, and our depth, our theology, as it were, within our prayers, that we are understanding more and more of who God is and what we should be praying and how we should be praying to him? Or are we stagnant? Dare I say it? Is it possible that some Christians have gone backwards? That maybe if you look back on this year, the start of the year, you were reading, you were praying, but now at the end of God, your Bible no longer is opened during the day. No longer do you lift your heart unto the Lord. Yet Peter encourages 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:15-16, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Child of God, have we grown? When was the last time that you prayed? When was the last time that you read? You ever grown a sunflower? During nursery, for some reason, nurseries send sunflower seeds home with the children. In the 2 years of each of our children in nursery school, we got 4 sunflower seeds. Only one ever grew. I don't know why. Ever watched a sunflower grow? Starts off as that tiniest little seed. You watch a little green shoot coming up out of that tiny little pot. And it grows and it grows. Then you need to put that bamboo cane in beside it and cable tie it to it so that it keeps growing straight. And every day you can watch, and it's centimetre by centimetre by centimetre. Every single day it's growing. And you need to move it from pot to pot as it gets bigger and bigger. And what happens is it grows and it grows. Where is it looking? It's looking straight up to the sun. A sunflower with that bamboo cane in beside it, it grows perfectly straight. It never goes to the side. It never bends over, but rather with that bamboo in and the sun in the sky, it just looks up and up. At night, the sunflower looks miserable. The sun's not in the sky. The leaves drip. The head looks depressed. But when the sun rises the next day, the leaves are out, the flower head is heading straight. It's looking to the sun. You put the water in. You watch that stem as it grows thicker and stronger. See, us as a sunflower, what do we need? We need the water. We need God's word. We need that water to be added. We need the word of God to be given, that we feed upon it each and every day. Even as that stem and that flower, it takes in the water that is poured upon the soil, and it strengthens and it grows. We need the word of God in our lives daily. And we grow stronger. We need that bamboo cane in our lives, as it were, that work, the guidance, the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, that we are kept going straight. God. I watched it, that little sunflower as it grew up, and it went over 6 foot in height. And the storms came. And the wind was blowing. You've seen the trampolines around the area in the cul-de-sac in which we lived, trampolines being blown against fences. You see an entire fence is shaking, but yet you watched a sunflower with that strong stem and with the bamboo and with it pointing upwards towards the Lord. What happened? The sunflower never moved. Oh, the wind came, but it never broke. It was looking upwards. Child of God, as the storms of life come to our lives and as we are billowed and as we are pushed and shoved all around, but yet if our foundation is firm and strong, and as we are pointing and gaining and longing to be nearer and nearer to the Lord, we'll never be broken. But there must be the growth, bit by bit, as we go upwards. Child of God, what is your life for Christ? Has there been growth? Has there been maturity? Each and every day, are you growing? Are you longing to be nearer and nearer to the Son of Righteousness? Has it been that desire on a daily basis? I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to know more of my Lord and Savior. I'm one of His children. I long to be closer. I long to know more of Him. I long to see more of His wonderful face. What is your life? Notice with me, secondly, not only does it give that opportunity to examine ourselves spiritually, but it also gives the opportunity to emphasize the brevity of life. The brevity of life. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, to a young child, 70 years of age seems like a lifetime. My children think that 30s is old. But to a 70-year-old, and I'm going to keep my head down and not look at anyone, to a 70-year-old, it's only but a blink. The days, the weeks, the months, they just roll by, and the person at 70, 80, and even 90, it's but the briefest of time. It just comes and goes, and in the light of eternity, it's but a dot. A dot. And even if the Lord blesses a man or a woman that they live to 100, compared to all eternity, which stretches on forever and ever, it's only a vapor. It's like that mist that comes out of your mouth in a cold winter's morning. You breathe out and it appears for a second and then it's gone. It's like that steam that comes out of your kettle when it's boiling and it disappears before the teapot is even filled. It's there for just that briefest of instants and then it's gone. Do you ever notice that in the graveyards? In the tombstone? Name of the person, born such and such a year, died such and such a year. What's in between? It's just a dash. Your life on this earth, it's just a dash. You may say, oh, 70 years I've had, 80 years I've had, 90 years I can have on this earth. But yet, whenever it's put in the tombstone, it's just a little dash. And all of a lifetime is condensed into a dash. David, at the end of his life in 1 Chronicles 29 and 15, he described his life as our days in the earth are as a shadow. And there is none abiding. Job described life as this in Job 7 and 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. In chapter 8 and verse 9, he also described it, or Bildad not described it. He said, our days are upon earth, there is a shadow. Job agreed in 9 and verse 25. He said, my days are swifter than a post. And we look at our lives and we think upon our children as they grow up, and our children look and they say, I've my whole life out in front of me. I've decade after decade. I've my years of education. I've my years of job. And I've my years of retirement. It's just a dash. And yet within this existence, within this shadow, within this time that's swifter than a weaver's shuttle, our eternal destination must be secured. Within these days, these weeks, these months, now in which we live, there must be preparation to meet God. All eternity will go on forever and forever and forever. But within the lifespan, whatever it is that God will give you, your eternal destination must be sorted and secured now. For you can't secure it or sort it after you breathe your last breath. It's in this life that we must prepare to meet our God, men and women. It's in this life that every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, you must answer the question, what will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? What will you do with him? Men and women this morning, what will you do with Jesus? The Lamb of God who died for your sins upon the cross. The one who endured the wrath of God. The one who endured the punishment there upon the cross. That shame of being crucified to a tree. The one who hung there for those hours. The one who had that darkness come in upon him. The one who there cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What will you do with Jesus? Who is called Christ. You know, today we have house insurance, car insurance, holiday insurance, life insurance. Have you got soul insurance? Have you insured your soul? See, for soul insurance, there's only one provider, and that's Christ. It was Christ that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It was Christ that said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. Have you soul insurance this morning? Have you come to the Lord and asked him to forgive you of your sins and to save you? Has there been that time in your life whenever you've come to the one who paid the debt there upon Calvary, who paid in his own precious blood that you might have forgiveness of sins and you might have eternal life? Have you come to him and taken of what he has provided and paid for? Oh, men and women, life is so brief. So short. Don't leave it another day. Your life could be gone like the vapor. Blink, it's gone. You know, when you think back in 2018, January started, everyone goes around wishing everyone else Happy New Year. How many expected to be in their graves before the end of it? And yet up and down our land, thousands have been put into plots. And I can take you to any graveyard, and you can take me to any graveyard in the country. Every age is different in the tombstones.
Oh, there'll be the 90-year-olds and the 80s and the 70s, but I can bring it right down through the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, the 20s, the 10s. The brevity of life. Men and women, ensure your soul today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and put your trust in Him. Don't leave it another year. Don't even leave it another week. Come to Christ today. One final thing I want to draw your attention to as we close. Not only the opportunity to examine, not only the opportunity to emphasize the brevity of life, but I want you to see also this question, it gives the opportunity to expound in the frailty of life. The frailty of life. James 4 in the verse 14, it says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I want you to notice those words. It's like a vapor. You ever tried to hold a vapor? That mess that comes out of your mouth, that steam that comes out of a kettle, have you ever tried to catch it? We put year after year of effort into education for children. 16, 14, maybe even 18 years of education. Boys and girls grow up, and all of the training, A-levels, GCSEs, degrees, masters, all of that is put into one person. And yet life is so fragile. It doesn't matter if a man or a woman receives training from the best army in the world. Tiny bullet gone. One instant in a car. Disease just affecting one part of the body. And life's gone. And you can say, oh, I've done everything I can for my life, and I've put all of my effort into my education, and I am so now intelligent, I have all of the letters after my name, or I've put all of my effort into my physical health, I walk miles, and I do all of my efforts that I can for my fitness, and I'm as strong and as healthy as I can be, I eat all of the right foods, but yet it's fragile. Gone an instant. What is between a man or a woman and death? Just a breath. Proverbs 27 and the verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I've made plans for 2019. This church has plans for 2019. Within our families, we've plans for 2019. Will we be here to see them? All of the career enhancements, all of the house improvements. Men and women are there and they're saying, within this year, I've now saved up, I'm going to do this in my house, I'm going to do this in my career, I'm going to have this and that and everything else. But look at Luke 12. The farmer had a wonderful harvest and he says, I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. And then I'm going to say, take your ease. I've made my money, I'm now going to retire, I have my expansion, my retirement, it's all same place. And the Lord says, no. Your soul's required of you tonight. You don't get it tomorrow. Men and women, you have no idea what is round the corner, as I have no idea what is round the corner. But all we have today is this instant to get right with God. Because why? Because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Life is so brief. We sang it. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. What's the exhortation? Be in time. For if it's not sorted in this life, it never will be. There are religions today and they will say, no, when you get to hell, and if you have to go to hell, you only have to stay there for a certain amount of time, because either then you can be paid out and penance and everything else can be done that you can get out of hell. Or else the Mormons will even teach and they'll say, no, you can actually move from one to the next. But God's word says, Luke 16, the rich man in hell being in torments, he lifted up his eyes. He asked for one drop of water. He never asked to get out. He said, send men to tell my brothers. But he never asked to get out. Because your eternal destination is sorted and secured in this life, not in the next. What will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? You need to answer that question today. And I'm not saying this for the sake of trying to scare you into making a false profession. I'm saying this because it's a reality. We haven't got tomorrow. What will you do with Jesus? As your own and your personal Savior? Will you cry on to him today, even in this last day of this year, this last Sunday? As you look back on how quick a year has gone and how quick time after time, decade has gone, and you're looking at your age now and you're realizing how far you've come on. It's just that blank. But yet the Lord in his mercy is standing ready and willing to save you today. If you but come, will you?